This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be with all of you, whether you're here in the sanctuary in person or worshiping online. We know that the Spirit of Christ unites us together as we worship. It's been a special joy this morning. I've had at least two people tell me this is their first time to worship in person since March of 2020. And so we want to celebrate that homecoming and give thanks to God for the ability that we have to gather safely with our masks. And so welcome. Welcome home. I want to say a special word of welcome this morning to our friends from Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church, our dance troupe that will be expressing worship and helping to interpret the story that we're hearing together this morning in worship right after the sermon. So thank you all for giving up one of Dr. Smith's sermons to be here this morning. Many of you know Dr. Paula Smith preached in our midst in November, and we're so thankful that she's willing to share these dancers with us on Sunday morning. So welcome. I'd like to invite everybody to sign in this morning. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign those and pass them down. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link available up on the screen to let us know you were here. And if you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, please share with us a mailing address or an email address, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you in the coming days. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. Last Wednesday, we launched our Wednesday night programming, which included children's choirs, both in person and over Zoom, and an adult class offering at 6:15. And we will have those up in the theater for those who want to come in person. And it will also be live streamed if you want to join us online. And I want to encourage you to join in online next Wednesday at 6:15. Brandon Baxter is going to be interviewing Mac Perkle, who is the Superman behind the camera every Sunday morning, and the artistry with which he does that work is a true spiritual gift. And so we'll get to hear from him what that has been like for him as he's done that in our midst. So that's Wednesday night, 6:15 to 7. Then next weekend, Nashville is hosting the Pride Festival, and I'm happy to say that all of the volunteer slots have been filled for staffing our booth at Pride Festival, but there are still some slots available to walk in the parade. So if you take a look at the Friday e-news, there's a sign-up genius to sign up to walk in the parade. And finally, the last Sunday of the month, the 26th of September, we're going to have an all-church picnic at Richland Park. So it's not here on site at the church. It's at Richland Park from 4:30 to 6:30. It's a bring-your-own-dinner kind of picnic, but we hope it will be fun for all ages, and we hope you'll come and join us, and we pray for good weather as well. Of course, as we gather this morning, we hold in our hearts and our memories the events of 20 years ago on 9/11, and many of us participated in and reflected on those events yesterday in different ways. But we bring all of that with us in this time of worship, as together we turn our hearts and minds to this God of deliverance, this God of hope. Let us worship now in this hour together.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let us sing to the Lord. God is our strength and our might.
God is our salvation.
Let us worship with tambourine and with dancing.
Let us worship and exalt our mighty God.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held deeply within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. O God, source of all that makes life possible, giver of all that makes life good, we gather to give you our thanks, yet we confess that we have often failed to live our thankfulness. What we have, we take for granted, and we grumble about what we lack. We have squandered your bounty with little thought of those who will come after us. We are more troubled by the few who have more than the many who have less. Forgive us, O God, in this hour of worship, accept our thanksgiving and teach us to make gratitude and sharing our way of life. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those in the sanctuary this morning, you may share those signs of peace in whatever way is most comfortable for you. And those of you worshiping online may share the peace of Christ with those with whom you are worshiping or with those in the chat this morning. The peace of Christ be with you.
Forest glades I wander, and hear the birds. Pray together for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, and as it is read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, Exodus 15, 1 through 3 and 20 through 21. When Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my might, the Lord is my strength, my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. When the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hands, and all the women went out after her with a tambourine and dancing, and Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Join me up here. We had a good bunch at 8:45, all the early risers. If anybody, here comes Brandon. Are you going to sit with me?
Oh, I can.
Oh. Okay. I'll be here by myself. Okay, thank you. And for those of you who might be joining us from home, just move a little bit closer to your screens and we'll have a moment together. So the story that Will just read for us was a story about a woman named Miriam, who was Moses' sister, and some of the other women of Israel who were dancing together because they were so happy about something God had done. And it made me think about all the different ways that we can use our bodies to worship. Sometimes when we pray, we close our eyes and we put our hands together as a way of shutting out all the things that might distract us and to keep our hands still so we're not doing anything else. Oh, thank you guys for coming on up, using your bodies to come forward for this moment. Thank you. So I was just talking about how what we do sometimes when we pray, we don't have to, but is to put our hands together and our eyes closed as a way of shutting everything else out so we can really hear God and talk to God when we pray. In worship, A lot of times when we sing, we stand up to sing. It's part of our praising God. We stand up. After the sermon, we stand up and we say what we believe. We call that the profession of faith. So we stand up and say, I believe in God. And after the sermon today, our special friends are going to dance for us and lead us in worship as they use their bodies to praise God. So I just want to say that there are lots of ways that we can praise God, and I'm so grateful for the gift of dance as one of those ways that we can worship. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of our bodies that you have given us. Help us to use them to praise you with our voices, with our hands in prayer, with dancing and singing. We do it all for your glory, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much, and thank you, Brandon. If we have any kids who are 3 to 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Brandon to Children's Church in the chapel. So I was so excited that you all could join us this morning in worship and lead us in this act of worship, of liturgical dance. I love this story of Miriam and the women of Israel dancing together in celebration of this great miracle that God had done in their midst. And as we were planning the fall and looking at scriptures that had to do with dancing, this was one of those ones that we picked because it's such a great example of worship and dance. But as I grew closer to the text last week and this week and began to remember this moment in the story of Israel, there were also some things I found troubling, some aspects of the story that are not so easy to dance about. In fact, one of the pieces of artwork that we considered putting on the cover of the bulletin was done by an artist named Laura James. Beautiful colors and an image of Miriam dancing. And in the background, there is a sea of red with horses and chariots and soldiers tumbling through the sea. Because in this moment of Miriam's rejoicing, of Moses' rejoicing, the Egyptian army is covered over by the Red Sea. And there is also death and destruction. And that's a hard part of this story to deal with. Is it okay to dance and rejoice and praise God when others have suffered and died in that moment? Do we have a right to rejoice when others are suffering? How do we as the people of God wrestle with something like this in Scripture? Well, as I tell you over and over again, I don't have any easy answers. And I think we are all invited into the conversation. And the truth is that rabbis and preachers and believers across the centuries have wrestled with stories just like this one. One of the things that helps me is to remember that the God I have come to know through the scriptures of both the Old and New Testaments, through my own experiences of prayer, is a God of unconditional love for all people. We hear God as far back in the book of Genesis say that God wants to bless all the nations of the earth. We hear God in the teachings of Christ saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We see Jesus even in this moment of dying on the cross saying, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. So there is not this rejoicing as other people suffer. There is deep within the heart of God, I believe, a hope and a dream for the thriving and flourishing of all people, and never any rejoicing in human suffering. Another thing that helped me as I wrestled with this week was that someone in our Tuesday morning Bible study mentioned that Dr. Martin Luther King had preached a sermon on this very story. And he puts it in words and frames the story in a way so much beyond what I could do. So if you don't mind, I just want to read you a few of his words. The sermon was called The Death of Evil Upon the Seashore, preached in 1956 on the 2-year anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision, Brown versus Board of Education, which finally ended legal segregation in America's public schools. And he says, "This story symbolizes something basic about the universe. It symbolizes something much deeper than the drowning of a few men, for no one can rejoice at the death or the defeat of a human person. This story at bottom symbolizes the death of evil. It was the death of inhuman oppression and ungodly exploitation. The death of the Egyptians upon the seashore is a glaring symbol of the ultimate doom of evil in its struggle with good. There's something in the very nature of the universe which is on the side of Israel in its struggle with every Egypt. There's something in the very nature of the universe which ultimately comes to the aid of goodness in its perennial struggle with evil." And then he goes on to say, "Let us remember that as we struggle against Egypt, we must have love, compassion, and understanding, goodwill for those against whom we struggle, helping them to realize that as we seek to defeat the evils of Egypt, we are not seeking to defeat them, but to help them as well as ourselves." Dr. King reminds us that our freedom is tied up with each other. I am not free if you are not free. And God's hope and dream, I believe, was that not only Israel, but also Egypt would have been freed from these systems of oppression that kept them all from being less than human to one another. And so with that help coming from Dr. King and from others, I now want to dive into the story a little more deeply. I want to examine more closely this moment in the history of Israel. Now, most of you probably remember the story. The people of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, forced labor, under the thumb of Egypt's violence and oppression, systematically keeping them down. And the cries of the people came up to God. They were so downtrodden that it verged on genocide when the Pharaoh that we meet at the beginning of Exodus proclaims that every male child born to the Hebrew women should be killed. And so God hears their cries and raises up Moses, Miriam, and Aaron to lead the people to freedom. And God gives Pharaoh 10 opportunities. Moses goes 10 times to the Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." And he never does. Finally, the 10th time, Pharaoh says, "Fine, go." After the 10 plagues, he had had enough of them. He said, "Just go." And so the people gather their things and begin to make their way out of Egypt, away from bondage, and Pharaoh changes his mind. And he sends the armies after them. And so we see the people of Israel making their way toward the Red Sea. In front of them is a natural barrier of a huge sea, and behind them are the chariot wheels and the horses' hooves coming at them from the Egyptian army. And there they stand, unarmed, helpless, poor, and meek. And in that moment, can you imagine their despair? There were some of them who said, "Why did you lead us here to die? Let's just go back to Egypt. It was better there." They doubted. They weren't sure. And then suddenly God opened the waters of the Red Sea, and they crossed over onto dry land. It is no wonder that Moses is singing and Miriam is dancing. They were in a situation where there was no way out, and God made a way. God saved them and rescued them and liberated them. And they stopped and took that time to praise God for this new freedom, for this miracle that they could never have foreseen. And so we too are invited by Miriam and the women who dance with her to stop and praise God, to stop and sing and dance and lift our hands to God to acknowledge the amazing things that God has done and is doing in our midst. Because our God is always doing the work of liberating and setting us free from all of those things that bind us. We learn from Miriam and the dancing women that the journey's not over. They have a long way to go. They will be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years before they reach the promised land. And Miriam and Moses and most of this first generation won't even get to see it. And yet they still dance. They don't know what lies ahead, but they still stop to dance. In this sermon that Dr. King preaches, he talks about how long the journey is. The journey to freedom, the journey to the kingdom of God where all people are thriving in peace and love and justice and equity. They stopped to celebrate this moment of this Supreme Court decision, but there is a long way yet to go. And we still have a long way yet to go before the forces of evil and oppression and discrimination that are just baked into our systems are finally defeated. But we're invited all along the way to stop and dance. And that's really what Sunday morning is all about. Someone reminded us in the Wednesday night study that this text of the freedom through the Red Sea is read in many churches the night before Easter, because it's a story of liberation from death. Just as the resurrection is a liberation of Christ from the tomb. And every Sunday is a little Easter. Every Sunday is an opportunity to celebrate God's breaking the bonds and setting us free. And so we come to worship online or in person, and we reiterate our baptismal vows, that we accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. We stand up and we profess our faith, saying we are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. We stand up and we sing praise to God, and we dance. And so, my friends, I invite you and all of us as we worship together and as we are led in a few moments by our friends from Gordon Memorial to dance, a dance of freedom, a dance of praise to our God who leads us on the way to flourishing and thriving for all people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. y'all for sharing that gift of worship with us. Let us rise together in body and spirit and recite together our affirmation of faith, number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life and death and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving and compassionate God, we are a people who are always in need of you and your fullness, creator, redeemer, sustainer. But particularly in these recent days, oh God, it is this experience of you as our sustainer that we have hungered for the most. Though the world teems with heartbreak and every day brings a new reason for worry, each one seeming more difficult to comprehend than the concerns of the day before, though we live in a state of semi-acceptance of living ordinary days in the face of what is catastrophic, your light and your love, oh God, your presence among us, the sustenance that your Spirit provides is new for us each day as well. Your presence with us enables us to live as a people capable of joyful celebration, as a people full of hope, because you, our God, are with us and you will never leave us. Though you are ever present with us, it can be difficult to tangibly experience your presence, especially when we are disoriented in the midst of grief or loss or pain. We pray now for those of us seeking comfort, longing to feel your presence in these circumstances, for the grief that resurfaces as our nation, for those who individually lost loved ones, as we remember the devastation that occurred 20 years ago on September 11th, 2001. And we contemplate all the ways the world has changed in those last 20 years. For the grief we feel remembering those who should have been with us these last two decades. For the families and communities who have had to figure out how to live their lives without those that were lost on that day. For the people in Louisiana continuing to face the devastation in the wake of Hurricane Ida, having fallen out of our news cycles and national attentions, but whom you have never forgotten, O God. For the ongoing pandemic, for those sick or suffering, for those fearful and vulnerable, for those navigating difficult questions of safety, loneliness, and emotional exhaustion as we try to do our best to take care of ourselves and of one another. Gracious and merciful Lord, we want to follow where your Spirit is calling. Show us who and what you would have us be in this world. We call out to you that we might have the courage to dance in the interim, to celebrate the ways we experience your presence with us and your love for us, even in the immense expanse of the unknown, to give to you whatever burdens we have entered in here today with, so that our hearts and our minds can be open to you, to your word and to your Spirit, the same life-giving breath from the first moment of creation. The same breath that moves within us and among us, connects us together as a community, and brings us together as we pray the words Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on your screen or in the chat. For those here worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
today we should change that last line to, we are dancing through Emmanuel's ground. This is the ground where God dwells with us and goes before us. So let us dance out of this place, continuing to sing and dance a song of love to the world. Go in peace. Amen.